The Way Out Podcast, episode 209.
I'm a life coach for addiction recovery, hosted a Funky Brain podcast with Dennis Berry, and I've been sober since April 2003. And I just spend my life, you know, I went through a lot of pain and trauma, just like a lot of us here and probably a lot of your listeners. And I used to struggle a lot with, like, what's my purpose? Why am I here? After all the that I went through, all the car accidents, the arrests, the who you see is not who I used to be. And I used to struggle with, why am I here? And the reason I'm here is the same reason we're all here, only not everybody realizes yet. And that is to get. And so that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm a life coach. I like to work with people to help them find their path and master their lives. My tagline is kick your addiction and master your life. And that's why I do what I do. My brain, my thinking is the source of all my problems. The idea of meditating is not to control your mind. It's to not let your mind control you. It's a cumulative thing. So you do your morning meditation. That's how you set your day in the right frame, right? This is the direction I'm gonna go. Now I'm peaceful and calm. Whatever happens, I can act sanely instead of reacting like an idiot. You don't have to wait till tomorrow if you're having a crappy day to start your day over. You can start it over right now. That's the good news, isn't it? Don't give up before the miracle happens.
Welcome, Way Out faithful and first timers, to this week's installment of the Way Out podcast. We appreciate your ears. Our mission is simple: to bring you powerful recovery stories and recovery power topics so you can jumpstart or re-energize your recovery from alcoholism and addiction. The Way Out podcast does not speak on behalf of, nor are we affiliated with, any 12-step organization. The Way Out podcast partners with All Recovery Rings and allrecoveryrings.com, where you'll find stunning recovery rings made from your very own recovery coin. That's allrecoveryrings.com. The Way Out podcast is a proud supporter of Transitions Daily. Would you like to join a free, anonymous online group that offers a daily topic email with popular recovery resources accompanied by a secret Facebook group for discussion? Go to dailyaaemails.com for more information about Transitions Daily. Don't forget to share dailyaaemails.com with friends, in meetings, and with sponsees in recovery. Make sure to check us out on the web at www.wayoutcast.com. There you can subscribe to ensure you get the latest episodes first on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Help us recover out loud by giving us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Your voice matters, so share your thoughts on recovery with us by calling us at 218-382-1960 or leaving a message with us on the Anchor app, available for Android and Apple. Every week, we'll be asking for your thoughts on next week's topic. Someone, somewhere, needs to hear your share. Finally, a word of caution. This podcast may contain strong language and mature content. Listener discretion is advised. The Way Out podcast is on right now. I'm Charlie, and this week I have a thought-provoking and unbelievably instructive interview with life coach and fellow podcaster Dennis Berry, who's also in long-term recovery from addiction and alcoholism. Dennis and I illuminate incredibly important topics that can transform your recovery and your life. We talk about purpose in giving, the awesome power of meditation, quieting and calming that funky brain of ours, and truly nurturing our mind, bodies, and spirits with physical, mental, and spiritual actions and activities so that we can truly be living in the present and be living our true purpose. So listen up. Dennis Berry, thank you so much for taking time to join us here on the Way Out podcast. I'm really excited to talk to you on a number of different levels. You are the host of the Funky Brain podcast. You're a life coach. Why don't you take some time to introduce yourself to the Way Out podcast audience? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. And we're going to dig in a little bit about your story, but also about what you're doing today in order to help people in life and recovery.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Charlie. It's so great to see you again. You were on my show. It was probably a couple months ago now. I can't remember.
Yeah, it feels just like it feels like it was yesterday.
I know it does. Yeah. Life goes quicker now.
Indeed.
So like you said, I'm a life coach for addiction recovery, hosted a Funky Brain podcast with Dennis Berry, and I've been sober since April 2003. And I just spend my life, you know, I went through a lot of pain and trauma, just like a lot of us here and probably a lot of your listeners. And I used to struggle a lot with like, what's my purpose? Why am I here? Mm. After all the shit that I went through, all the car accidents, the arrests, who you see is not who I used to be. And I used to struggle with, why am I here? And the reason I'm here is the same reason we're all here, only not everybody realizes yet. And that is to give. And so that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm a life coach. I like to work with people to help them find their path and master their lives. My tagline is kick your addiction and master your life. And that's why I do what I do.
That's tremendous. Let's revisit something you just said. Because I think a lot of us, and I certainly was in that category for many, many years. Why am I here? What's the point of all of this? What's my purpose? But I didn't really understand that on a conscious level most of the time, right? But in retrospect, and many things in recovery, hindsight's 2020, and in retrospect, vision becomes very clear, right? Yeah. But in the time, I just felt like a general, what is the point of all of this? And you said everybody has a purpose, and what is that?
It's to give.
Yeah,
that's our purpose. And if everybody really took that attitude, the world would be, I think, a more peaceful place, and mostly within each individual. Right? I'm not talking about social media and everybody's just so angry about politics or this or that. I mean, just as an individual, you'll be at peace with yourself if you give more, right? Yeah. That's our purpose. Don't 100%. Stop being so hung up on it and just say, usually what happens if I'm stressed out, worried, fearful, angry, living in that sense of like, why am I here? What's going on? I'm overwhelmed. It's because I'm thinking about myself too much. Mm. What can I do to go help somebody? If I could just go help somebody in any way possible, sometimes it's like buying an expensive gift, and sometimes it's like smiling at the person when you're walking in the store. You never know what somebody else is going through. And if you can make their day better, that's giving.
Yeah.
And it'll make your day better.
You know, my sponsor early on used to say to me and have me do a daily assignment, which was to be of service to somebody, do a good deed every day. And if I told somebody about it, it didn't count.
Yeah.
Which was a great exercise in being able to experience the act of giving for that intrinsic act itself, not for any other motive, not for any other reward, just pure and simple, the act of giving. And experiencing that allowed me to understand on a very intimate level what giving really means, how it feels to give without any reward. And that's what we're here to do, is just to be of maximum service to the people around us. And if I can do that on a day in and day out basis, and look, and I'm not perfect at it, right? There's days where, you know, the selfishness and the self-centeredness definitely crop up, right? The benefit today is I have an awareness of it. I know what it feels like when self-centeredness comes up. I know what it feels like when my selfishness is getting in the way. And I didn't used to know what that felt like. So that's a gift of recovery, and that's a gift of living according to some spiritual principles, which have yielded dividends for me. And then when the other stuff starts to crop up, oh, I know what that feels like. I'm being selfish right now, right? I don't want to give my girlfriend 100% attention right now, right? Because I'd rather, you know, think about stuff that I want to think about, right? I know what that feels like, right?
What's in it for me?
Exactly. Exactly. 100%.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
let's rewind the clock a little bit and let's talk about what it was like for you, Dennis, in active addiction, active alcoholism. You know, at what point did that take hold for you? And tell us a little bit about your journey to and through addiction.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, like a lot of people, it's going to sound like pretty similar to a lot of people, except this one's my version of it. And when I was a kid, I was a scared little kid, didn't get the skills to figure out how to get through life successfully or happily. And, you know, you fast forward to when I was 15 years old, take that first drink, and I was like, I don't have to feel that way anymore. I don't have to feel anything anymore. I could just like numb out, because that feeling, that's painful, you know? So when I started drinking, I was like, wow, this is great. I don't have to feel like that anymore. And then the problem was, that's when you stop growing. Hmm. And, you know, we're going to do the express version, because
not everybody. How old were you when you began to drink?
Yeah, I was like 15 when I started drinking, and it was like right off to the races. There wasn't any like, you know, sipping on anything. People are like, well, can't you just have a beer? And I was like, I never had anything.
Right.
You know, I had an 8-ball. Or a pack of cigarettes, or a case of beer, or a gallon of whiskey. But I never had a beer. You know, it wasn't, people were like, you know, do you want to drink like a normal person? I never wanted to drink like a normal person. I want to drink like a pig and not have any consequences. Right? That's like, that's just how I'm wired. And that's why I can't drink anymore. And I'm not going to drink for the rest of my life. You know, everybody says one day at a time, and I'm not drinking forever. And I do it one day at a time, but I'm just not going to drink the rest of my life. I'm committed to that. And that's an important thing, I think, at least in my case, and it's what I teach a lot of my clients too. It's like, we're going to commit to this for life, and that's how we change our lives. And so, yeah, when I was 15, I started drinking, and I could breathe. You know, it was an amazing feeling. So I was like, I don't want to stop this. And then I went from a good student to a not so good student. And then I could have gone here and I went there, you know, I went the wrong way. And also like when my story, like my parents got divorced when I was 7. And back then there wasn't shared custody like there is now, like a week on, week off. I only saw my dad every other weekend, like 4 days a month. So I never had anybody around to teach me how to be a man. And this is just my story. And so what happened was, and I didn't even realize this till, you know, just a few years ago, 5 or 10 years ago, was I didn't have anybody teach me how to be a man. So what happened was I gravitated towards different boys and men along the way to teach me how to be a man. The problem was I latched onto a bunch of idiots along the way, you know, because I was like, oh, this guy could drink a lot, or this guy likes to smoke weed, or this guy likes to snort cocaine, or this or that. Now, if I had latched onto a bunch of responsible, intelligent men who were going in a good direction, that would have, maybe my life would have went different, or maybe not. Maybe I would have just kept drinking because I didn't want to feel. So I don't know. I can't dwell on the past. This is just what happened. And then anyway, you fast forward through my 20s and all the car accidents and the broken relationships and the health problems and the arrests and all that stuff. I was 31 years old. I lost my job. I exhausted all my resources. I was 70 pounds heavier than I am now. I was just a lazy, drunken bum. And at that time, it was April 8th, 2003. My girlfriend at the time came over, which was amazing. I had a girlfriend because I was really gross and stupid. And she came in and she's like, you know, she saw me. I had passed out in my clothes after a week-long bender. Maybe it was like a 10-day bender. And I peed my pants. I was just a mess. And she's like, you know, this can't go on. And I just started crying. And I said, I can't stop. And so she got online on the old internet, dial-up internet connection 17 years ago. And she found a rehab center near me out here in Colorado. And I was in there on April 10th. So I've been sober since April 8th of 2003. I was there for 30 days. And, you know, lots of struggles. You know, just because you quit drinking doesn't mean life is all rainbows and unicorns. It doesn't work that way. I've had massive success, massive failure, good relationships, bad relationships, good friendships, broken friendships. I've had great health. I've had health problems. But I haven't had to drink through any of them or smoke anything or anything. I just, like, when it comes up, I feel it, I process it, and I get to do that. And then I get to keep living. And you know, it's an amazing ride. Life goes really fast. You know, I remember being early and in sobriety, and I would go to a lot of meetings early on too, and there would be these guys that were like 30 years of sobriety. And I thought two things when I first heard that. I thought, one, they're full of shit. Like, nobody has 30 years. They're lying. But the other thing I thought was, I wish I had 30 years of sobriety. But you know what I came to realize was, like, at that time, I was 31 years old. And I was like, I don't want to have 30 years of sobriety right now. Because then I would be 61. I'm 31. Or 32 or 33, you know, as time goes on. And I need to go out and live my life and enjoy this experience that we're having, this spiritual experience. And so that's how I've been doing it, man. And, you know, some days are awesome. Some days are less awesome, but I'm still breathing. I'm still here. I have a great life. And, you know, it's funny sometimes because I live in Colorado, the weed place where everybody talks about it. And, you know, sometimes I say it would be fun to smoke a joint. You know, if I could be like, hey, you know what? Because I kind of miss the weed. I was a skier, a ski racer, chef, party guy. Like, I had a fun time, too, amidst all the heartache and the car accidents and stuff. And I would be like, you know, sometimes I think about this. And I was just talking about this with somebody yesterday, I think. You know, if it could be like, hey, it's Halloween, let's go smoke a joint. And then not again until like Christmas, I probably would. But here's the thing. I don't have a joint, right? So here in Colorado, you can go to the store. When I quit, we had to have drug dealers. So now it's like, I could just go down the street and I'm going to go buy an ounce. And I'm going to stop doing life. And I have an awesome life. So I'm not going to ruin my life. So that's where I am today. You know, over the years, I've done a lot of different things. I had a very successful business and made a ton of money, and then I lost that. And then I did sales, I did marketing, I did all kinds of things because I'm sober and clean. So I have opportunities to do things. I have choices. And, but nothing, and I've been doing life coaching for a really long time, but I've really just sunk all of my efforts into it. And, it's the greatest gift that I have is to, I wake up every day and I get to talk with people and help them struggle less than I had to become successful.
And that's so much to unpack there, just in terms of your own experience with alcoholism and addiction. So many of us, me included, can relate to the mode of thinking, why would I ever want to have just one? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. That doesn't, I mean, have milk, have a glass of water then, you know, like, it doesn't, that didn't even compute in my own head. Why would you ever just have one? And there are people that have like one or two and then switch to Diet Coke, and I can't get my head around it. Because it never made sense to me until the very, 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 very end. That was the only time for me anyway where Yeah, I only wanted to have just a couple, right? Like, I wanted that ability at the very, 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 very end, only because literally everything's hanging in the balance, right, of me having that ability. And I never had it. I never wanted it in the beginning and didn't have it. And only in the very, very, very end did I want that ability. The other thing that I think is so instructive about your story is you're 17 plus years sober, right? But when you got sober and you went into rehab, that wasn't the end. That was merely a beginning. It was merely a beginning of what you needed to do as a human being in order to be able to begin your journey of life and recovery. And to learn to live life on life's terms, and then be able to find and embrace your purpose and not be afraid of that and not be afraid of what that means for you, right? And begin to do some really meaningful and important work coaching others and working with others to find their own purpose and to remove barriers in other people's lives that are blocking them from experiencing the magic of being able to give our gifts. Because that's the magic. That's where it all happens. When I am able to remove the stuff that's blocking me from being able to give in a way that is, if we're doing it right, it's spiritual. If we're doing it right, it feeds us in a way that is very complete. But we can't be afraid of it, and we have to remove those blocks, right? For you and for a lot of us, that's alcohol or drugs, or maybe it's food, or maybe it, whatever it is, right? Bad relationships. There's a whole lot of things that can block us from being the people that we can be. Are you a believer, Dennis? And I love this discussion, so let's talk about it. Are you a believer in the idea that we find ourselves? Or are you a believer that we create ourselves?
That's a great question. I believe that there's, I actually ask a similar question with my clients. It's like, do you believe in fate? Right? Same type of question. I'm guessing you were going there. Yeah. And I believe that there is fate, but I believe we have some control over it. You know, and I think that we do have choice. You know, we're the only creatures on the planet that have the kinds of choices that we do that will, and which gets abused, which is why we have addiction and stuff like that. But that's an excellent question. I mean, and we do have that choice, and we do create, and it has to be done every day. You know, I want to share something, because I've been going through a really tough time in the last few months, going through a breakup of a really long relationship. And I had, it's probably the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life, and sober, you know, and I don't remember the pain of getting sober because it's been so long now, but I know it was painful. But this is really painful, and most of the bleeding heartache part is over, but I just get like the sadness now. But you know what I've been doing is the same thing I did early on when I got sober. I've been meditating, reading, praying, writing, talking with people, exercising, eating well. And then what happens is you get through, right? And then what happens is, because we are human, is that we slide back a little.
Yeah.
So for the last week, I also still do some like real high-end catering stuff. And so I make these, you know, lobster filet, caviar, creme brulee, and last week I did a party and I was like eating all that crap. And I usually don't do that anymore. I'm pretty fit fellow. And then I started eating that, and then I started feeling crappy. But that, when you eat like that, that sugar, that fat, that salt, you crave more. It's like all this crap. And all of a sudden a week went by and I was feeling down, and I was feeling down body, mind, and spirit. And then it just hit me a couple days ago, and I started to redirect and get back on track. And yesterday I was writing. I went into a really deep meditative state. It was like 15 minutes of real deep meditation. And during that time, and then I started writing, and here's my pad actually that I was writing on. And I wrote down, and it's in two parts. And I've been on, this is my sixth podcast this week. And I have like, and I think probably like maybe 15 or 16 clients this week so far. And I've shared this with every client and every podcast. So I'm going to share it with you too. I want everybody to do this today. You ready?
Yes.
It goes like this. One, I am capable and worthy of all the success and love in the world. You know, I wrote that down after being in a really deep meditative state, because I've been sad and I've been feeling lack and loss and all this stuff. But then there's a second part to that. You ready? The first part was, I want to reiterate, I am capable and worthy of having all the success and love in the world. And this is the part I want everybody to know. The truth is that I already have all the success and love in the world. I just need to access it and tap into it every single day.
And that's a choice.
It's a choice. And if you don't do that, if you don't tap into it every single day, because you're going to live. So you can live in the sadness, the heartache, the lack, the poor me, the victim stuff, or you can live in the success and the love that is already inside of you. It's your choice. So I wanted to share that.
I love that. And that speaks to the intentionality around having a mindful goal around accessing that, not letting sort of life happen to us and being unsuspecting victims of behaviors that I'm not being mindful of, but I can be very intentional and mindful, and I can make these choices today that are and I have all of the ability, and I have all of the everything I need in order to make that happen, right? Like you said, and we all do that. We all sort of ebb and flow and kind of bounce a little bit, right? When it comes to our path, right? And it's sort of like a little bit like the stock market, you know, in terms of, you know, like if you were to say, you know, 10 years ago, the stock market was here and now it's here. It's, you know, on average 9% higher, right? That ain't the whole story now, is it? And it goes way down, and then it goes up, and it goes up and down. And that's a little bit how my life goes. Although the longer I progress in recovery and in life, that evens out, right? And it's a little bit more like rolling hills, not, you know, roller coaster dips and climbs, right?
Yeah, ripples.
Yeah.
Well, and like we talked about earlier on, the awareness. It's just bringing awareness to the situation. And you said another big word, mindfulness, and being intentional with all of my actions. Like, I wasn't being intentional, or I guess maybe I was, if you really want to break it down. When I was drinking, I was intentionally numbing out. I didn't want to feel. So now I want to be just as intentional with my actions now. You know, I want to, when I wake up in the morning, I want to put my day in the right direction. If I wake up in the morning and look at Facebook and see what some politician may or may not be doing for me, which none of them are doing anything for you, by the way.
That's a fact. They're doing a lot for themselves, right?
Yeah, or listening to an opinion that one of my friends on some social media network has, and then attaching myself to that and getting angry, resentful, or anxious about that in some way, that's the way my day's going to go. But when I wake up and calm my mind down, I meditate, I read something constructive, I write some stuff down, and I give my clients specific exercises to do. That's where growth comes from.
Right.
If I'm stuck in my head and relying on my thinking, we have an average of 60,000 to 80,000 thoughts every single day. So that's almost one thought per second. Now, if those were all useful, awesome, constructive thoughts, that would be really cool. But they're not, right? So if I'm writing, I'm slowing my brain down. If I'm reading, I'm slowing my brain down. Because my brain, my thinking, is the source of all my problems. They don't even exist. These thoughts that I have, they're just thoughts.
And that's what I want to end on. Let's talk about the funky brain and it's the inspiration for the name of your podcast, but it also speaks to what so many of us struggle with in active addiction, in alcoholism, but absolutely in sobriety and in recovery and in life, is the million mile an hour brain that seems to never stop. And how do I stop being a victim of my own mental insanity, right? The minute I get up, it goes a million miles an hour. And by the time I get done in the day, I feel like I went through the spin dry in the washing machine about 152 times.
Yeah. Well, you're in control of that. And I was just talking to a client about this morning, actually. You know, meditation is a cumulative effect, right? So a lot of people will say this: I tried meditation, it doesn't work. Well, let's go over how you did that. Did you try a 5-minute meditation and check Facebook at the same time and check your email while you're doing that? Or did you really take some time to get into a meditation, to go deep, to find out who you are, to sit through it no matter how much your mind is racing? Because that's what your mind is designed to do. It's designed to think, right? And, you know, try to figure life out for you. So if you can actually sit still for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or whatever, don't scare yourself. Do a guided meditation if you can't sit still. Then you're going to calm your mind down. Don't, you know, the idea of meditating is not to control your mind. It's to not let your mind control you.
That's the bingo. And that's the really the reality behind it, is it is a practice. And I love the word practice, around things like prayer and meditation and mindfulness and intentionality. It's a practice. I'm not good at it out of the gate. I'm actually pretty bad at it. When I started praying, I wasn't good at it. When I started meditating, I wasn't good at it. But what I heard from people that did it and were honest about their experiences is that they weren't good at it either, and that it was hard for them too, and that their minds raced too, and that they had a bunch of thoughts that would come into their brain while they were meditating too, right? And it wasn't about that. It was about allowing those to sort of continue to sort of roll, the thoughts, not holding on to the thoughts, allowing them to roll over, and not beating myself up during this process, right, of practicing meditation. And if I do that, then I have the ability to be able to utilize that during the day too. That's what I've found about meditation, is it's, sure, it's about that 5 minutes or 10 minutes that I spend in the morning, depending on the morning. Sometimes it takes 10 minutes to get my brain to settle down, right? Sometimes it takes 5, right? And somewhere in between there. But once I get to the place where I've settled my brain down a little bit and the thoughts are starting to just roll, I can then take that out into the day. And that,
you can.
Right. It's like building a muscle.
It is. It's like building a muscle. But here's the other piece of that too. It's like, you know, and if the day gets out of hand, out of control for you, remember I said it's a cumulative thing. So you do your morning meditation. That's how you set your day in the right frame, right? This is the direction I'm going to go. Now I'm peaceful and calm. Whatever happens, I can act sanely instead of reacting, you know, like an idiot. And then I can be really constructive. Now, if something goes out of hand and it's not going the way that you originally planned it, start over. Go sit on the toilet and sit down and meditate for 2 minutes, and then go out. And you don't have to wait till tomorrow if you're having a crappy day to start your day over. You can start it over right now. That's the good news, isn't it?
That's tremendous. And so many of us feel like once the day's sort of spun out, right, it's gone sideways on us, that we're no longer in control of it. And that's just not the case.
No, it's not the case. You're in control, right? We just talked about that.
Right.
There, like, we have control. I believe in fate. I believe that there is like a, you know, at some point this ride's going to be over, but we have control of like how the ride's going to go. You know.
Absolutely. Before we close, Dennis, give us the single most important piece of advice you got in recovery.
You know, don't give up before the miracle happens.
Mm.
And I'm not just talking about not drinking, but I'm talking about, you know, navigating through a relationship, trying to lose weight or get your health back. If you're on a financial path, stay on that path. Like, keep pushing forward. I was taught you always have to be pushing uphill. If you're not, you're sliding back downhill. There's no planning out, right? So the problem, and people misunderstand this, is that pushing uphill, it doesn't necessarily mean struggling. It just means striving to be better than you were yesterday. So don't quit before the miracle happens. Whatever you're trying to do, stay on the path. You're going to get there.
What would be the most important thing you do on a daily basis that has the greatest impact on your overall serenity, joy, happiness, however you want to phrase that? What has the single greatest impact on your quality of life?
Yeah, we just talked about it for a half hour.
Yeah.
It's meditation. When I'm really on it with meditation, then I'm unstoppable. I am. It's not the other way around. It's not, I need to get out of bed and be unstoppable. Let's go. It's get out of bed. Let's put our mind where it needs to be. And then I'm unstoppable. It doesn't work the other way. Not for a long period of time.
I'm so on board with the meditation, man. And like I said, it is definitely a practice, and we have to be kind to ourselves during that process and know that it will be a work in progress. And there's days where sort of, you know, I'm in it in a minute, man, and I'm in the zen, right? And then there's days where it's, you know 10 minutes in, my brain's still, you know, fighting me hard, right? Fighting
me
hard.
But don't quit before the miracle happens, right? And then, you know, just one last thought about that. Meditation is definitely not an option, right? And if you go by AA standards, it's not an option. It's a step. It's a whole step, 100%. Step 11. So do that every day. But, you know, one thing you hear when you first get sober in recovery land is we only have to change one thing, and that's everything, right? So I need to calm my mind down, but I also need to take care of my body.
Yes.
I need to eat well. I need to drink as much water as I can. I need to move my body every day, exercise. For some people, it's a walk. For some people, it's CrossFit or hiking up a mountain. Body, mind, and spirit, they're all connected. I want to change all that, and then I have the best chance of success.
Absolutely. 100%. Find something, like you said, that you like to do, that you're going to do no matter what, right? And then the rest of it takes care of itself, right? And meditation, such a wide variety. There's a lot of meditations that we can do. Find something that works for you, that you enjoy, and the rest of it takes care of itself, right?
Absolutely.
And if we're taking care of our mind, we're taking care of our bodies, and we're taking care of our spirits, we're going to then be able to give. And that's what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. That's how we started this conversation.
Comes full circle. We take care of ourselves in that self-care mode, mind, body, and spirit. And then we're able to give like we're really supposed to give. And boy, does that feel good when we have that purpose in our lives.
It sure does. Yeah.
Dennis, I can't thank you enough again for the time, brother, for being on the Way Out podcast. If you want to get a hold of Dennis, you want to check out the Funky Brain podcast, I will have all of that information right in the show notes. So check the show notes right now, and you'll be able to get a link right out to Dennis's podcast, which is super cool. And he looks in person just like the logo. It's exactly, I mean, it's striking how uncanny, really. The similarity. So check out the podcast. Dennis, brother, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and have a great day.
Thank you for being a part of The Way Out. We appreciate your ears. We're sharing powerful recovery stories and recovery power topics every week. So keep listening up. If you would like to reach out to the show, you can visit us on the web at wayoutcast.com. That's wayoutcast, all one word, .com. There you can subscribe to the Way Out podcast on all of the major podcast aggregators, such as iTunes, CastBox, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, Overcast, and more. Or simply drop your hosts a friendly email at share@wayoutcast.com. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, contact us at share@wayoutcast.com. See you next time, and remember, if you don't change, your sobriety date will.